This is a Stand Up Labs production, powered by digital media.
I believe I see two Negro feet.
Where?
In the shower.
On TV?
Oh, shit, they're black feet.
They don't put black feet, no black feet on TV.
Nigga, this is black foot.
There ain't no black feet on
this
TV.
This is a black
man.
Foot. This
they don't put black feet on TV, man.
Nigga, I'm looking at a black foot with a bunion in a corner.
Oh, shit.
It's two of them. Get in the conversation.
It's time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon, crazy Dominican, you know, Vladimir, come on, yo, my cool man from the county of Dade, Ali Muhammad.
Buongiorno, it's In the Conversation. This is your host, Damian Lemon. And that's all I got. On my right hand side, I got.
All right.
Well, Vlad is not in the conversation this week, but on my left-hand side, I got...
Mansoor Ali Muhammad. Hip in this bitch.
Bon vivant, I think. I don't know, man.
What's good, man?
I'm chilling, man. Good to be here. Good to see you.
So
Euro D,
fresh off the plane.
Fresh off the plane. Fresh off the plane. Straight from Paris yesterday. You know, went out there for the young born day. The shit was, it was nice.
Fired up.
I dug it.
You didn't post too many pictures.
I didn't. I ran into a data situation out there with Verizon, and things was going crazy. They was hitting me up ridiculous. I didn't know what was going on because I paid to have a plan. Somehow my plan wasn't the plan, and I had to really pull a yo. It's my birthday card because I got a couple notifications like yo, we just charged you another $50
for
X amount of megabytes. I said, wait a minute. So I called them up. I said, listen, I don't know what's going on with megabytes because I thought I paid to have the data that I needed to have, but something's going on with my megabytes, and I'm unaware of what to do. And the lady was like, well, let me see what's going on. You might have been doing this, you might have been doing that, whatever, whatever. Looking on Twitter, refreshing here. She says, I'll knock half of it off. I said, yo, you know, I appreciate that.
But how about I put my plan back in motherfucking effect?
Well, one, yeah, let's make sure, what can I do with this plan? Because I definitely paid for something. But then two, I hate to bring this up, but it's my birthday and I wanted to know if you could, and she was like, well, happy birthday. You know, you've been with us for a while and it's your birthday. So gave me a full 100% credit. And, but I never really got back onto the internet. It was terrible, man.
I
sent one snap at the end, one little snap of the Eiffel Tower. But, and my phone was bugging out too. Cause, something's going on. I had a little too much data in my phone or too no storage. So I would get the whole, I would be in like photo jail. Where you could take about three or four. When you really get in the full groove of enjoying yourself, it's like, nah, no more photo. They won't even let you see through the viewfinder. So, you know.
So your technology was on the fritz.
My technology was very old school. I went to Paris in the technology era, but from an old school jazz musician sort of view. I was radio silent.
You didn't even have a little wind up, a little camera.
Nah, I gotta get a new camera. My old point and shoot. Yeah, my old point and shoot. Both of them are twisted. I got a K1000 if I wanted to really get film. Get on some, you know, some noir since I'm out there in Paris. I could have done that, but that needs to be cleaned. This is twisted. And then my Canon, that's dead somehow, just out the blue.
Mm.
So I'm in transition, man.
No doubt.
Yeah. But
that's all good. You got good memories though.
Oh, I had great memories, man. I took about 800 photos of the Eiffel Tower. Like, I mean, it's just majestic. Speaking of which. Heads up, brother. Hold that. Ooh, hold that for yourself. That's for you too. Little greetings from the, you know,
Baron gifts
from the Paris. Yeah, you know,
loved it so much you brought gifts home.
Yeah, a little something. But yeah, we was right next to the Eiffel Tower, and the Eiffel Tower is like the logo for Paris.
Right,
you know,
no
like
doubt.
It reminds you. Oh yeah, we here. Like right. You're not just in New York no more. This is wow. wow. It's majestic. It's a fit. I just like the whole aesthetic of what's going on out there, man. It's kind of fly. The language I need to learn. I know you said Quincy Jones has that thing where he said you should learn a few words in every language.
Right.
I totally agree, because I was getting my au revoirs and my bonjours and my bonsoirs all mixed up. And, you know, sometimes I hit up with a hola, knowing damn well that's Spanish.
That you not in DR.
I am not, yeah. I am out here in the PAR.
So I'm saying, what was the highlight?
Man, what was the highlight? Just getting there. You know, just being out there. You know, Paris is one of them places that just is like, wow. You know, I feel like this might be one of the few cities that I've been to that's kind of like on par with New York in the way that it look at New York. You know, a lot of other cities you go to, they wonder what you're doing, what's going on in New York, what they doing out there. Paris is kind of like, all right, I see what y'all doing. You know what I mean? That's what's up. That's what y'all doing. That's what we doing over here. Like, they got this.
You got a light.
You know what I mean? Yeah, we talking. But it's just, you know, it's a lot of old, everything is like, buildings date back to like to the 16th century. So when you see something like Grand Central Station, to me, which is grand as hell,
right,
that's only from 1931, 1913. They got shit from the way back. So, I mean, some of my what stood out, the Eiffel Tower, that was official. Just go into the top of that shit. The Eiffel Tower was kind of crazy. You know, we did we only there for a couple days, but we hit some of the spots. Hit the Louvre, hit the Eiffel Tower. Hit Notre Dame, hit the Pompadour, hit a few spots. We was
okay,
out there.
Okay.
Shout out to everybody that gave me some good recs, you know. Young Bev, actually, happy birthday. Shout out to Bev. Today's her birthday. Ooh, so ooh. If you listen to this conversation, that was our very first guest. So shout her out. And also, shit, today is also young Chris's birthday.
Ooh.
So shout out to that. That's a
bought bottles.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah. It's a festive time. You know. And thank you for all of the birthday wishes. Thank you. Again, like I had a data situation, so I wasn't able to like and get back to the Instagram post and the Facebook love, but I appreciate that shit. Thank you so much. I went out there for the birthday. It was crazy. But back to the Eiffel Tower was one. And it was this dope steak spot, my man Will. Shout out to Killer Will. He put me on Shea Robert. Mm. Shit was banging. It felt like if somebody just created a steak restaurant, like a damn restaurant right in the like a brownstone. As soon as you walk in, there's chairs and shit. Then there's a bar here. And then, like, you know, a lot of brownstones always got like that little fireplace that's always kind of bricked in now. But imagine if, you know what I mean? It's a lot. Most people I see, the shit be bricked in. It'd be right in front, right behind the TV. But imagine like a wood burning grill with just like a little, like a little slate of, I guess, marble or something. And they just fucking cooking steaks on that shit, just getting it in, like in a fireplace. It looked like a fireplace.
It's a big fireplace.
It's a decent size. It ain't like super big, but they get it done. It's official, and the steak is bananas. So that was probably the best meal I had out there. Man, I had a good time.
I mean, you know, as a, you know, somebody, I'd never been to Paris, you know what I'm saying? And as a black man, what's the black man report on Paris? How they treating you out there?
I always want to know what the racism report is.
Yeah, what's the racism report?
What's it looking like for the young Negro? It felt cool, the climate felt all right. You know, like I felt like could have used the Sherpa. You know what I'm saying? Again, we was just out there just for dolo, doing what we do, going to the places that the hot spots and what you were referred to and what, you know, obviously the notable places. And black people would pop up here and there. Mm-hmm. Like there'd be certain spots, because again, we was only there for a couple minutes. And they Paris is broken up, or the city part is broken up into, I forget, the Arundan, I can't pronounce it, you know, like little areas or whatever. So you don't know which area, y'all know what I'm talking about, the Arun, well, I can't, well, you'll figure it, A-R-R, and it's a longer situation. Anyway.
The borough.
the boroughs, like little boroughs or little neighborhoods, like I think it's 10 of them or whatever. And you'll be walking in there and you're like, yeah, this neighborhood feel black. Like this feel like a Flatbush. You know what I mean? Like this feels like it's Caribbean. You know what I mean? There's black barbershops and shit like that. So you're like, okay, I know we're in a black neighborhood here.
Right.
Then we might go to a neighborhood that's more like a Williamsburg, but you'll see like some black hipsters and you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I was telling my lady, every time I seen like somebody that was black there, I kind of just wanted to know their life. You know what I mean? Because I want to know what's the deal.
Right.
I could only observe. I didn't have a real.
You ain't kick it with none of.
Not on the kick it. Like it was just random conversations. You know what I mean? If I see somebody, but nah, we wasn't in the streets with nobody. Yeah, it was right.
That's what's up.
It was a good time, but it looked like it was cool. I would love to go back. I would love to find out what's going on in that. France is definitely felt like I only seen a little bit of it.
I'm sure.
You know, like just a, you know, sometimes you go to a city 3-4 days, you be like, ah, I think I see the dogs. Oh, shit. But yeah, I definitely know there's more in store. But
so you made it back in time for the good Halloween.
Came back right in the middle of Halloween. How was your Halloween?
Oh man, mine was interesting.
Do y'all celebrate Halloween?
We do it. The kids do it. I'm not. I guess that was the problem. I'm not the big Halloween celebrator.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's whatever.
Never.
Yeah. I mean, we do it, but it's not like I get dressed up in the costumes and we
Never.
Never.
Damn.
You know what I'm saying? So I think my daughter, she had enough of that shit.
Yeah, she's like, liberation.
Listen, this is the worst Halloween ever. All right, listen.
I need to do something.
You know what I'm saying? Because the logistics was off.
Why? Because it was it because of the Monday? Or
it was a Monday, and then I had work to do. And shit, okay. You know what I'm saying? Real shit.
Cramping the whole Halloween
you
style.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't pick them up until the very last minute. Like, you know what I'm saying, 6 o'clock after school session is over, I'm there at 5:59.
Right.
So by the time we got going.
Because
it was a Monday, everybody got started early. So by the time we got going, it was already in full swing.
Yeah.
So we looking for a park. She looking at everybody else trick-or-treating.
Right.
So it was like a little tantrum going on.
Hell
so,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was almost like I got into one of them black father moments. So you shit, Halloween is canceled. You know what I'm saying?
Ain't going to be no damn Halloween.
I just been riding a hush. You know what I'm saying? I can't, my nerves are bad. I'm trying to find a park.
Ah, shit. You know what I'm saying? Because did she go to school with a costume on or did she still got to go
no,
put
she
a
went
costume
to, on? Went to school with the costume on because you know they do that.
In the school.
You know what I'm saying? And then it was already like weekend Halloween events going on. So we had already done some stuff.
It's just, you got to observe.
Right,
Halloween.
This is the trick or treat moment.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? We got to go get the candy. And I'm like, I don't care nothing about no candy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Hilarious.
So,
dang.
So, you know, my older son, my middle son, he was getting dropped off with his boys who lived in, you know, they live in Carroll Gardens. So I was going to drop him, find a park, and then hit the trick or treat.
Right.
So we dropped him. Of course, couldn't find a park. Took about 40 minutes.
But why you need a park if you're doing a drop? Oh, you talking about after the drop.
After the drop, we're going to park and do the trick or treat.
Damn, on Halloween, of course. You know it's going
to
be tough.
Because it definitely didn't have time to drive back to the sty.
Right.
And then come back to pick him up. So we were going to trick or treat right there.
In a foreign neighborhood.
No, it wasn't. It's not foreign no more. Because
you know enough people out there.
Because we've been doing that neighborhood for probably the last 7 years because my oldest son had a friend lived on that same street.
Okay.
So, you know what I'm saying? Actually, the same when, were you here when we talked about the play date situation?
I've heard that episode, though.
Yeah.
I listened to the
actually,
podcast.
Actually, that they lived on that same block.
Okay.
So we've been doing Halloween in that neighborhood for quite a while. So,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's pretty cool over there. Everybody participates a lot.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? There's a lot to get done.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice bags.
Nice and safe. You know
right,
what I'm
right.
Saying?
Nice and safe. Yeah.
No
hooligans
running around.
No eggs and shaving cream. Okay.
Nah, none of that. A lot of haunted house type activity going on. You know.
Organized Halloween.
Yeah, very. You know, actually, Bed-Stuy has a nice organized Halloween. It just ain't as many people participate as in other neighborhoods.
Right. You know right. No, I could dig it.
So, you know, once we got the little tantrum out the way and, you know what I'm saying, I had to, do my self-meditation because, you know, like I said, it was about that
right
Halloween is canceled moment.
Well, what was going on? Was she just saying, yo, what's going on? Can we find us?
She was all in full on.
Like, yo, yeah. We need to go. Everybody need to go. She's seeing the whole shit popping. That's hilarious.
I want my money.
He's so close, but so far. She would never do this to me.
You know what I'm saying? But then, you know what I'm saying, where it took a deep turning point where I was, where it could have went all the way wrong.
Right.
Where I had to catch myself.
Yeah.
She was like, I don't want you to do nothing for me. Uh-oh. I want my mommy to take me to trick or treat. But the way she said she didn't want me to do nothing for me, she sounded like an old lady, like an old
done
season.
Done with your ass.
Like an old season. You know what I'm saying?
Like the last straw.
Like a 50-year-old woman who, you know what I'm saying, who been through the whole world. She 8 years old.
I'm done with, I could do bad by myself.
I don't want you to do nothing for me.
Terry McMillan mad.
I'm like, hold up. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I'm saying, I had to gather myself because I almost, you know what I'm saying, lost all my control.
Right.
I almost became a moment.
That's hilarious.
So I had to catch myself and realize, okay, you know what I'm saying, let's not etch this in stone as the night daddy, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like we parted ways. Things was never the same after Halloween 2016.
You know what I'm saying? Let's not.
Never the same.
Let's not write that in stone.
Right. So how do you pivot in that moment? First, you got to have the cooler head.
First, I went inside. I got very silent.
What you do? Put something on the radio?
Nah, I just didn't say a motherfucking word.
Did you find a parking spot this moment, or are you still looking for a parking spot?
It was like
two minutes
before I found a park. So I'm still
tension is high.
I'm still cool. I'm trying to stay cool and find this park. Boom, found a park. Uh-huh. And then I was like, listen, what you need to do is pull yourself together right now.
Right.
And we're gonna get out of here and do this.
Yeah. let's get this back to.
So we pulled it together.
Work in order.
We pulled it together. First couple of stops was nervous because everybody could see that she was visibly shaking and upset.
Right now it looked like an abduction.
Now they looking at me like, what's good, player?
What kind of shit is this?
Everybody happy? It's Halloween.
You're going to Halloween under duress.
Ollie, can I ask what she was? What was her costume?
Right.
Oh, she was Frankie from the Schoolhouse Rock.
Damn.
I guess that's the name of the show.
See?
Something.
This is a reminder how old you get when you don't know none of the references.
Yeah, you know.
This is the guy from Hey Arnold. Have you seen Hey Arnold? Nah, man. Nah. So, I was in college when that shit was.
So after the first three or so, you know what I'm saying, she pulled it together and she was skipping along down the road and, you know, we had a good time. But I had to get it right once we got home.
That's what's up. Did y'all get good bags? Get a good bag, or and how are you about the intake, the bag breakdown after the night? All of that.
Well,
type
they
of
get
shit.
A good day to revel at the size of their bag,
right?
And then you know what I'm saying, then that shit started disappearing.
Would you be pulling the bag away? What do you mean?
Yeah, we start throwing that shit away. Man.
Oh, you start throwing it away.
Yeah,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? They ain't gonna eat all that shit.
Okay.
Man. You know what I mean?
So, but you let them get that one day.
We let them get the good shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Pack a little. Okay, what you want out of this? Get a little a little good bag.
Yeah.
Then the rest of that disappear.
Get that dumb shit out of
there.
What was the, I got a couple questions. I got a couple questions for both of us, for everybody here. Halloween, did you see? Okay, first let's go with the trick-or-treater because he was out with the trick-or-treater. What was the go-to candy? What was the candy you saw a lot of? What was the, this shit's still out here? The disappointment candy per your daughter. And then what was, oh, shit.
It wasn't, we was late. It was no oh shit.
Candy. Damn, it was after oh shit.
It was after oh shit. Our
the dregs.
The
butterscotch.
The stars of the candy is people who gave out the full size.
The full joints, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The full size Reese's, the full size Snickers. Those was the winners, of course. And then the bullshit is the dude who is sitting on his porch, he got a big ass container
of candy,
full of candy, but it's all that, you know what I'm saying, the little bitty
penny candy.
The little bitty lollipops, you know what I'm saying,
the dum dums,
the little dum dums, like the one you know what I'm saying, as soon as you put it in they come off the stick,
it's over,
that type shit, just a whole bunch of that, like
a lot of economy candy
and he was very generous with it too.
Of course.
He was like,
It was good to get the bag started, because you know what I'm saying? Of course, we was late.
Okay.
So it was good on behalf of getting the, you know what I'm saying, setting the tone.
Right, right.
But, you know what I'm saying, that's the first
thing. Gave you hope, at least. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, okay, there's still some shit out in the world.
Yeah, yeah. It made the bag respectable at the end of the night, because he gave a big two handfuls of that shit.
Hilarious.
So, you know.
Go ahead. Nah, go ahead. What was the last thing you was going to say?
Nah, but, you know, that was the full size joint, the chocolates, you know, the real candy that you really eat.
Right.
When you get it, that's always a treat.
Right. It looked like the shit you get from the store.
You know what I'm saying? Some shit I would have bought anyway.
Exactly. Ooh, oh, come look at that. Snickers. What was the best costume you seen? Both of y'all.
Go ahead, Chris.
Chris, did you do anything for Halloween?
Nah, I mean, I was here yesterday. You know, I was here pretty much all day yesterday. Uh-huh. I didn't even see anybody trick-or-treating, honestly.
Did you go to the joint downstairs?
It started at 9. I was editing stuff till like 10 o'clock. I ended up not going. Yeah. I heard it was a really good time, actually.
And I was under duress, man. I didn't see... I wasn't paying attention.
You was just trying to get it done. You was hilarious.
Dude, the best shit of the night for my kids was $3 Chipotle.
Huh?
It used to be free.
On Halloween?
On Halloween. At Chipotle, 2 years ago, it was free. You came in with costume, you get a free burrito.
Really?
Now it's $3. So that was their whole plan.
That's kind of cool.
That was their whole plan anyway, is to get the Chipotle. So after all of the trick-or-treating was done.
Oh, it's well known. Yeah. Amongst the kids, too. Yeah,
yeah. The kids know. They be on it. Like $3 burrito.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we did that. That was the highlight of their night.
Okay.
After the trick or treat.
Were they in costume at Chipotle or they were regular uniforms?
Nah, they weren't in uniforms.
Okay. You know what I'm they was costumed.
No, they weren't in costumes.
Oh, okay.
But everybody else came in costume.
Where you at with Chipotle?
You
trust it?
I mean, I never been sick off of it. And then my daughter, that's her favorite restaurant, so shit.
It is what it is.
The best thing that came out of that shit is the line ain't out the door every time you go.
right. It should calm down the ice.
Now you can go in and get yourself a motherfucking sandwich.
Shit, man. Fucking Shake Shack needs some Listeria rumors.
So we calmed down, like, you know what I'm saying, the couple weeks while I was going on, you know, just to pay attention. But, you know, after that, we never got sick, so shit.
I
ain't got no beef with Chipotle at this point.
Shout out to Tuesdays with Stories. They be getting Chipotle cards from their fans and shit.
Oh, word?
Yeah, that's their thing. They eat lunch at Chipotle, so they big it up. And fans be giving them shit. A lot of fans be giving their podcasters gifts and shit.
Our fans came to the live podcast with gifts.
Shout out to Young Layla.
You know what I'm saying? Hell Layla Glam came through.
And then
you got a
good drawing.
Yeah, got a good Ramadan shirt.
Right. Yep, shout out for the Ramadan shirt, you know.
We get gifts.
There you go. Listen.
I got the fan art.
That's what I said. That's why I bet the drawing.
The fan art,
you know. Getting into that time of the year.
Yeah.
Christmas.
It was D-Lemon birthday. Show love.
Yeah, you know shit. We still accepted gifts. You know, Stand Up Labs, 236 West 78th Street. You know, attention in the conversation, whatever. Show love if you feel it.
But, you know, my Asa, my middle son, he went hard with his Halloween. He always go hard.
He always
go some obscure ass.
Reference, you know what I'm saying? Correct.
Right. He making sure he finding the right costume from the right costume maker.
How far out is his process?
He about 3-4 months out.
Really? So he takes this shit serious.
Yeah, this year he was Miles Morales Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. That's Donald.
The black Puerto Rican one.
What's that? Was it a black Puerto Rican?
Yeah, it was
Spider-Man?
a black Puerto Rican. Spider-Man.
When was that? When was the black Puerto Rican? Who played that shit? It's a lot of new Spider. I didn't know they did a black. I know there was rumors.
Yeah, it was a black Puerto Rican one.
Get out of here! I heard some Miles shit. Morales. I didn't know it came out. Miles Morales. Shout out to Miles Morales.
I'm not sure if it came out or if it was in the book. Okay. But goddamn, it was.
It was the red box minority Spider-Man. Let's see if this came out.
What you got, Chris, on Miles Morales?
Marvel.
Well, actually, the first appearance was in 2011.
Marvel.
It was a comic book, you know, and I believe it seems like there was a cartoon movie. So.
Oh, it's a cartoon movie.
Yeah.
So you gotta be into this shit, man.
Okay.
That's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
There it is. That's what I'm saying. You gotta know.
You gotta know.
You gotta know. Now I know.
Yeah, so he was Miles Morales. Dope. And, you know what I'm saying?
Dope.
And people that know, they always give him the okay.
Yeah.
Are you all right? I see you.
It's a wrinkle. It's a deep, just a deep cut.
Yeah, deep cut. So he went with Miles Morales and ordered.
Now, how do you know the difference between Miles Morales? Obviously, he's black Puerto Rican, but beyond that, is
the
there
suit?
Any.
The suit is different. Suit? Yes.
What's the suit look like? Is it?
It's like a black and flag red. Flag? It's black with black and red.
Oh, all right.
Shiny looking joint.
A little shiny, like a rayon suit.
It's kind of, but it was pretty. It was pretty. The material was dope.
Oh shit! So wait, yeah, he made that?
No, he bought it. He found it. Oh, okay. He sourced it from somewhere in China that made them.
Wow!
And then he
Shout
ordered
out
it
to China.
You know what I'm saying?
You know what I mean?
But that was the one with the best ratings. You know, he get all the way down to the, you know,
breakdown.
Yeah, to the breakdown, the science.
I could dig it.
So that's what, you know, he had that. He got that off.
And, okay.
You know.
Well received in the world.
Yeah, I wasn't with him when he was in the world, but when I was with him on Saturday, he rocked it. Everybody who knew.
Uh-huh.
They were like, okay.
Ooh.
You know even at Chipotle, someone was like, "Oh, okay, yeah, I see."
That's the best cut. You know
So he did his thing on that, man.
Yeah.
So you know, it wasn't the worst Halloween after all. After we pulled it together.
Yeah. Your older son doesn't do anything Halloween related anymore. Does
he was chilling. He was chilling. He just wanted the Chipotle.
Did he have to put on the costume?
Nah, he just bring me one back.
Oh, yeah, hilarious.
He with us.
Hilarious. Yo, just bring me one back. Damn.
You know, he kind of get dangerous with teenagers on Halloween.
Yeah, so that shit could get crazy. So,
you know, I guess he didn't want to be in the fray.
Mm-mm.
And then he didn't want to be with his parents and shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. Man, I guess so. Anyway, what else is going on, man?
Shit, man. Hang out with date weekend with my wife and shit. We went to... Went to go see Moonlight.
Okay, that is the black movie of the moment, is it not?
Yes, it's the black movie of the moment. It's the black movie of the moment. It's the director, Barry Jenkins, from Miami. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's from Miami.
Yes, he's from Miami. All
right.
They shot it in Miami, so it was a good Miami story.
Okay. Oh, it's based in Miami.
Yeah.
I don't know shit about it other than it's the one you need to see, supposedly.
Well, it's the one that's been getting Oscar talk. Like, even when we were shooting the shit, we were shooting some stuff for the Oscars about 3-4 weeks ago.
Right.
And we went to the screening of The Queen of Cotway.
Right.
And when they came in there, they was asking, when was the Moonlight screening going
to
happen?
The
voters.
Really?
Yeah, they was excited to see it because it did really well at Toronto Film Festival.
Okay.
But, you know, it's worth the talk. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it's not an easy
okay.
You know what I'm saying, movie to watch if, you know what I'm saying, if you haven't been exposed to, you know, homosexual relationships as far as from the inside.
Meaning?
So the character is a young, it started out as a little boy who was dealing with, you know.
Well, don't fuck the whole shit up. Like,
I know. I'm giving you the synopsis. Like, you know what I'm saying?
All right, yeah, I just
this is the
say,
trailer.
Don't
this
put
the,
no spoilers
this
up.
This is the trailer version.
All right, my bad. Go ahead. Keep going. I'm just saying.
The movie's in three stages. The little boy, a teenager, and an adult.
And a grown-ass man.
A grown man.
Okay.
So the little boy, you know, he is, you know, being ostracized because,
right.
You know, everybody feels he's different. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So he's dealing with Trump coming to terms with, is he different? Like, what does that, you know, what does that even mean?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Then as a teenager, you know, he starts to, you know, not explore it, but he's in a situation where some shit happens and, you know what I'm saying, it's like, okay.
He sees what it is.
It is what it is. And,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? That was like, you know, his taste of love and shit.
Okay. I see you're not trying to spoil it, guy. And then, keep going.
And then as an adult, you know what I'm saying? It's the crux of the story is him basically coming back and coming to kind of, I guess you would assume that he's coming to terms with what it is.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Him being a gay man. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, like I said, when you watching a story and you know, you're watching it and you're empathizing with the character. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So as a little boy, you're empathizing with the little boy.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? As a teenager, you empathize with the little boy, like, damn, you know what I'm saying? Why are they fucking with him?
Right, right, right. You know what I'm saying? You invested.
You invested, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and if you watch the trailer, if you heard any of the hype or the story, you know it's coming. You know, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-oh.
You know that.
Some shit, like some traumatic shit.
Not happens. Traumatic. No, it's not traumatic. It's just him coming to terms with his homosexuality.
But it's something dynamic. It's something like there's a moment that...
Well, the whole thing is a moment, and you know that the moment of the homosexual part of the story is going to come into play.
Okay. Right.
You know what I'm saying? And if you're invested in the character, and so when it started coming into play, you had to really, you know what I'm saying, come to terms with, you know, I had never been this deep into, you know what I'm saying, to the feelings of a homosexual person.
Right. You never had to empathize. You never even had
that. You had empathy. But you know what I'm saying? It's always like, you know, you got gay friends and, you know, whatever they do, they do. You know right. what I'm saying? It's like, you know.
You were not in the moment. You never not, seen what it. Yeah, I could
You're not in the moment. You're not, you know what I'm saying, in their head as they're going through it, as they're figuring it out, as they, you know what I'm saying, get their first little taste of sexuality.
Right.
Like, you're not there, you know what I'm saying?
Like, you're in their head now.
Right.
They bring you in their head, so you, the whole thought process could sit, like, everything.
Right. So, in this story, you're there, you know what I'm saying? You right. grow up with him
right.
as a kid, you know what I'm saying? The first little, like, sprinklings of it, then, right. you know what I'm saying? Then you know what I'm saying? The first actual moment, and then as a grown person, you right. know what I'm saying? You know, feelings and things that happen within when you really liking somebody or crushing on okay. somebody, or, you know what I'm saying, you really in love with somebody.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you never had to deal with it from that perspective.
It's different angles, different perspective.
It's definitely a way different perspective. But at this point, you're invested in the character.
Right.
So the way that they wrote the story, the way that they built the story, it doesn't make it terrifying. It doesn't make it scary. It doesn't make it like, oh shit, fuck this, I gotta get out of here.
Right, right.
You know what
right,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
So they I think that's the part that makes it in the conversation of the Oscar talks and all of that, because it told a story in a way that leaves you invested, that makes you think, makes you rethink.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Rethink, it brings you into how it feels to right. be ostracized.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, from that perspective. You know what I mean? It was, you know, it's a dynamic situation, and it's like, oh, wow. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you got people who are in all corners of the world. You know what I'm saying? All corners of culture, society. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of those movies that makes you feel like, damn, everybody's story should be
right.
told in this manner
right.
and treated with this type of care. You know what I'm saying? Because it really makes you understand.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's dope.
So that was my take on it.
How was it? How was the movie overall? Was
it good?
The movie
was good. The movie was good. I only got one beef with the movie.
We'll talk about it.
Only one beef with the
movie. Let's talk that shit. Okay. Here we go.
I'm from Miami, right?
Uh-oh.
the movie's set in Miami. I think both of the filmmakers who wrote it and the director are from Miami. But the only thing I didn't understand, like, in Miami, like, when people get gold teeth, for the most part, they usually permanent gold teeth.
Really?
You know, yeah, especially like
no caps out there. It's like,
nah, caps not a big thing. You know what I'm saying?
Really?
Especially not with a street dude. Like, in the streets, that's not the look. Like,
explain that shit to me, because I'd heard Baby and Wayne shits is like, there's a drill, like we said, when you saying a permanent gold tooth,
yeah,
so they
file your teeth down and put a gold cap on top of that motherfucker.
Oh, and
that's
okay.
just it.
And
you
that's
signed
it.
Up.
Done. It's forever.
Right. And then, okay. you know, some people take them out and get white, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
a lot of cats who get out the game, or later on, they get older, they take the shits out and then do all porcelain.
Do a porcelain veneer.
You know what I'm saying? So
interesting.
Do a porcelain cap instead okay. of a gold cap.
Right.
So
is there any more significance to the gold teeth than just, look, I have gold teeth?
Well, it's a cultural thing, you know okay. what I'm saying? It's very dynamic. It's not a surface, you know what I'm saying? So at certain points in time, like in Miami per se, you know, I'm sure it's like this in New Orleans and other places where gold teeth rock. But at a certain point, it was like style, you know what I'm saying? No, before that, you know, old people got it for real, you know, real dental situations. Then, you know what I'm saying, I would say late 70s, 80s, it was style, you know what I'm saying? And it was... you know, you get one in the corner.
Little one, little side, little aunt side, joint.
Little Mary J. Blige joint. Or, you know what I'm saying, if you really get, you get two, you know, two on the side. And then, like, right around the crack era, that's when it became, you know what I'm saying, full-blown, like, get a whole grill. You know what I'm saying? Like, you get four. First, it started with four goals. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then you did eight. Yeah. And whoever could get the most became, you know what I'm saying? But if you was getting a grill at that time, either you was very, very, very cool, or you was already subscribed to the streets.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
because this is real, this permanent shit here.
Yeah, this not caps. They did come with the cap game later, but then it was always the stigma of, oh,
those pull out, those are fronts.
You got them fake ass goals in your mouth.
Oh, see,
you know what I'm saying?
That like, was big up New York, fronts.
Right. Yeah, fronts was, like, even Shirt King came from New York and opened a spot in Miami.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? And was doing fronts.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we never called them fronts. It was always goals. And to have pull outs meant you was not.
You wasn't all the way committed.
You weren't real.
You wasn't about that life.
You know what I'm saying? You was not about it.
You playing with that.
You playing with it. You know what I'm saying? You going back and forth. Like, real ass street cats did not have.
So that lets you know.
Right.
Now, what was the thing you said? You called that there's something when cats show all their gold. There's a name for it.
Oh, grilling.
No, not grilling. There's another name, like something more specific. Shot to something.
Unit? Shot the unit? Is it shot shoot the unit or the, you know
it might be shoot the unit.
You know
I ain't never heard that grill. One before. That's a different shit.
But you know what I'm saying? When a nigga shoot the East Unit, that's from the jail. Like, you know what I'm saying? East Unit in the jail. So like when you go to jail, you know, you gotta go in there with your, you know what I'm saying, with your face on.
Right.
You
know what I mean? Okay.
So it ended up being called East the unit.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? But just in generic terms, it's like, you know what I'm saying, he came up grilling the nigga and shit.
Now, I heard grilling, but there was another word. I might have been shooting the unit. It was some shit that you said that I had never heard before.
Right.
It was some super mind. So go ahead. So
in the movie, the OG character, you know what I'm saying, he had a bottom grill, which was, you know what I'm saying, was something that cats would do.
Right.
But it was a pullout because, you know, certain scenes, they never showed him take it out. But in certain scenes, he wouldn't have it in. And be like, what? You know what I'm saying? And he was supposed to be like an OG cat, you know what I'm saying? Driving a, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Caprice.
Yeah.
So that kind of was like, okay, you know.
Yeah.
And then when my man grew up, he had a full grill
that
was pullouts. And I understood the way they played it with that one because, you know what I'm saying, he took his out. They showed him take it out as part of the script. And it probably was like, you know what I'm saying, he was playing somebody that he wasn't.
Code switching.
Yeah, so I see the symbolism in his character, but with the OG, that was like, you know what I'm saying? An OG cat like that wouldn't have had.
He'd be all in.
He wouldn't have had no pullouts. Not an OG right there in Poking Bean Projects, you know what I'm saying, the 61st and all that.
Mm.
There's no real reason to have pullouts.
But other than that, that's real shit.
You know what I'm saying? But other than that, you know what I'm saying? Just everything else is cool. You know what I'm saying? Oh, Janelle Monáe was in there.
Yeah, how was she?
She was cool, but she had a definitive Atlanta accent. You know what I'm saying? That was a little, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you know, she would say shit like shawty and shit. Like, that was not, that didn't line up. But, you know, that's a pad. Like, nobody would know that.
You got to shoot that shit, you know what I'm saying? Man.
No, nobody would know that. But they did have, like, a couple of cats in the movie. Like, one of the young kids and one of the cats who was, like, working on the corner.
Things from Miami.
Was definitive Miami conversation. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, okay, yeah, he's definitely from Miami.
That's what's up.
You know what I'm saying? And not in no overt way, just in general conversation. He just saying Miami things.
He just knew it.
Saying?
Yeah.
But my man, Marshall Ali, he did a good job, man.
He's popping
Yeah,
right
he's
now.
Popping.
He's
like,
killing
it's
shit.
It's his time.
Yeah.
It's his time.
You could tell because motherfuckers is starting to figure out how to pronounce that name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's when you know when you got a real hard to pronounce name and people start to figure it out.
And I don't even know if I said it right.
I don't know if you said it right either, but I
know
exactly what you're talking about. Right. That's when you know.
Yeah, but it's his time, man. He doing a good job out there in these streets.
That's what's up.
Yeah, so that
Janelle Monáe need to go ahead and play Coretta Scott King one good time, man.
Wow.
She looked like Coretta Scott King, man. She need to do that.
I need to do the side by side.
Yeah, that's Coretta. It's young Coretta right there, man.
But she did a good job overall. She reminded me of the old Jada Pinkett.
Where
the old Menace to Society Jada Pinkett.
Oh, so she was about that life.
Nah, she wasn't. She was
firecracker.
She wasn't a firecracker one about that life. It's just the way, like, in the calm moments when Jada was in Menace.
Oh, right.
You know what I'm saying? When she's just nurturing, you know what I'm saying?
I got you.
She had that whole vibe. She reminded me of that Jada.
Serenity in the middle of chaos.
Exactly. Right. And that's exactly who she was.
Right.
And
I could see that. That's why I get that Coretta from her.
Yeah, yeah. So she in that respect, she did a thing. You know what
okay. I was thinking like Jada, low down, dirty, shame, Jada. I'm tripping.
Nah. Yeah. Jada, Menace Jada.
Right. Yeah, comfort. Yeah,
you know, what you call it?
Comfort. Oh. It was like, you know, she was grounded.
Yeah, she I thought was you said comfort. I was like, what the fuck?
Nah,
is comfort.
I don't say comfort. Nah, that sounds like a title. It's too provocative for it to be the episode title. Like, speaking of feet, though, I did see some black feet. Just I had a black foot site, and now you got
on TV
on Insecure. Yeah, it had to be a black show.
Yeah, it had to be a black show.
It's not gonna be.
What episode? What happened?
It was this most recent one. They taking a shower together, and they showing how small the shower was.
Exactly. So, they did have black feet.
Black feet negotiating. I was like, yo, that might be a new challenge.
That's a revolutionary moment in TV.
The Blackfoot challenge. That might be our new shit. Find some black feet on TV.
You fucking with Insecure?
Yeah, I like it. I like it a lot. It's cool, man. It's starting to get into its groove now. It's taking it, you know, like it's taking its time. It's funny because it seems like a lot of people now, I'm trying not to do this, you know, because it's these black shows. I hate when you got to compare black shit to other black shit. You know what I mean? To say this one is better than that. I read some things where people were like, Insecure is cool, but I'm a bigger fan of Atlanta. Like, this shit can't coexist. Yeah. I think they're two totally different things. I think Insecure is getting in their groove. They moving more like a, you know, more like a serialized show, whereas Atlanta's kind of like vignettes. Like, each episode, them shits don't have to, they don't have to carry over. They do sometimes, but sometimes it just be its own thing.
Right, and that's what they would, with that one particular episode, with two episodes.
The Montague?
Yeah, they just went in a totally different direction and opened that up for themselves.
Right.
Insecure, you know what I'm saying? Like you said, man, it's two different things.
Right.
It reminds me of like 90s hip hop for real, man.
Right.
Where you could have Two Live Crew and Tribe Called Quest drop the same week and you buying both. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you rocking them when it's appropriate.
Because you could relate to both.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So. Yeah, I fought with Insecure. I'm glad they're bringing in more of the male conversation into it as well. You know what I'm saying? Because for a while, he was just on the couch. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They were very peripheral
while
they built it up. You know what I'm saying? So I'm glad that they kind of building him in. In the same way, I'm glad they built the baby mother in ATL in her little episode. Where they started to show more of her.
Oh, right. You call it ATL. I was thinking of the
Atlanta,
movie.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you know, that's two totally different things.
Yeah, but you know, same, but different.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, nah, that's good. I'm fucking with both of them. I was laughing at that on the two episodes, the last two episodes before this last one, with the blood character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
He's
a good comic, you know what I mean, relief. We say, like, hey, yo, what y'all do with that bounce? That shit was funny as shit, man.
But it's so funny because that same dude was the whisper dude in Awkward Black Girl.
So, oh, shit. That is my man with the little pullback.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
so
shit.
In Awkward Black Girl, which a lot of these characters, they play
spun
different
off
characters, but they in the show. He was the whisper dude.
He was
like he was a DJ, but then, you know what I'm saying, when he talked, he was like,
what
the fuck are you talking about?
You know,
so now he a loud, boisterous blood.
Now he a blood, which is her loud, which is a crazy part. It's interesting now because it's almost like comic books, these shows that are based off of web series, you know, Broad City, Awkward Black Girl, High Maintenance, right? So I was watching some High Maintenance episodes, and they would pull people back from the web series.
Right.
And if you haven't seen that shit in years, you're like, oh, so it's kind of like the origin story.
Right.
Because I will say this about Awkward Black Girl. The one woman, I don't know what the friend from the web series
right.
It's funny to see them not really fuck with each other. Yeah, like, yeah, that's your homie.
Right.
And she just walked right by them. Right. That is weird to me.
Yeah, I said that the other day when they was in the office. And she
ain't that your homie? Like, that's your girl
right there.
They don't even fuck with each other. That's hilarious.
You know, so, you know, I fuck with it because you do know the origin story and you do get to see how... You know what I'm saying? These things spin off and actually get to play a part in the game, like how like a Broad City and right. countless other shows,
right.
you know what I'm saying, in mainstream America get to do. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you get to see it from the start. You get to grow with it and see where it goes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You get to see the creator come from nothing and, you know, be on the Breakfast Club and brand new on their first, you know what I'm saying, media press tour.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Charlamagne right. fucking with it and shit.
Right. All in. All in. That was, yeah, it was
you
good.
You know what I'm saying? So,
love.
Yeah, so, you know, it's a good time, man. I just think, you know, it's a good time to be playing in the space. It's a good time to be a fucking consumer in the space.
Well, speaking of coming back from humble moments, Meek Mill seemed to be back in the conversation.
Right. You like the tape?
I just literally got back yesterday, so I'm just my first time listening through. I'm not mad. There's a couple records on there. I haven't listened to the entire shit from the beginning to end, so I don't have a full-on opinion. I fuck with Meek, though. I like Meek
mm-hmm.
when he's on, you right. know? Like, I think there's a space for Meek. There's a certain energy that he brings to the game that I don't think there's anybody else that really brings that energy in this moment. But it was just interesting to see, like, because niggas had written him off. Like, it was, you know, not written him all the way off, but the slander was high.
Definitely.
And definitely. then he dropped the tape, and then the love was it was just as erratic. Mm-hmm. It's like, these motherfucking fans are shamelessly fickle.
Shamelessly fickle. The attention span is very short. The news cycle is super short. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nobody else cracking right now.
No,
you know,
shame, though.
No, it's no shame. You do it when they was fucking publicly dragging Meek
right.
Mill. You get in the club and the DJ put on that, yeah, you know, the Negro National Anthem.
Right.
And they still, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because, I was in Atlanta and Infamous was spinning.
Uh-huh.
And during that time, He started it, you know what I'm saying, in the beginning. Then you heard a few little boos here and there.
So I ain't going to let y'all do that.
Yeah, and then Infamous like, I'm not finna let y'all not make me not play this record, because yeah. Watch what y'all do when it drop. And sure enough,
they went right.
As soon as it dropped, they went right back to it. So, you know what I'm saying? That just lets you know how fucking silly shit could get.
Right.
You motherfuckers throwing dirt on your name, or you might, motherfucker might fail at some shit, and you think everybody laughing at you.
Right.
The only thing stopping you from bouncing back is you getting back up and doing some shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
you might take a slow one. You don't go lay down and suck your thumb in the corner.
Nah, you don't wrap it up. You gotta get back out there. Stay the course. No, that man. Shit, yeah, give you perspective. It gives you perspective because it's a lot of noise.
Yeah.
You get caught up in that. No, you could get caught up. If you don't get close that laptop and get into the real world, you could be fucking super distorted about what's going on.
Exactly,
in the world.
Cause I mean, he was catching them from everywhere. Everywhere. And it ain't like he dropped no shit that just super silenced the game. It's just he just stayed coming. He just stayed working.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, you don't know what the joint is on the new album yet.
Nah, I haven't heard the whole
shit. But it's there. You know what I'm saying?
It's people going through something.
And people fucking with it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
You got to keep going.
You know, he stay go getting his bag, man. Shit.
Man.
That'll help.
Yeah, I mean, if the bags are still there, you gotta go get to the bag. I mean, shit, that's a motivation.
I'm speaking of motivation, I'm fucking with the new Jeezy joint.
I haven't heard that yet. I just downloaded that. Now. And the Hibachi for lunch. Did you listen to that? Nah. The 2 Chainz?
I was doing something else, so I didn't pay no attention. You know, my title keep me up to date and shit.
Oh, so you all in on the title?
Once they hit me for the $9.99 or whatever, I just let it rock.
Like, all right.
You know what I'm saying? And it come in handy, you know what I'm saying? They be having some shit.
Because you always in the loop. You don't have to go look for shit no more.
You always in the loop, and the loop shit be front page on Tidal.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like on Apple, you know what I'm saying? You might get lost in pop.
Culture. Oh, so you're doing both? You still doing both?
Yeah. But on Apple, you might get lost in your popness, you know what I'm saying? On the front page. You might not see 2 Chainz.
They got a different slant.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. like Tidal, I could see where they could win as far as at least with me.
Talk to
them. You know what I'm saying? With me, like they definitely gonna have the internet street stuff on the front page off rip.
Uh-huh.
They do shit like they'll have like the playlist from all the songs from Atlanta.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you know what I'm saying? That's cool. Yeah. Like even on Insecure, I wish they had an Insecure one because they had that joint that came on.
The Erykah Badu shit?
Not the Erykah Badu. The first song that played this last episode is Conflicts of a Man by, you know, I don't know the dude's name. I'm looking it up.
Yeah, because Insecure made me go to Shazam.
Yeah, I was on Shazam like a motherfucker. What the fuck is this?
I found that Erykah Badu record. I done been through it all. That shit hard. You gotta check that out.
I gotta check that out. This shit called Conflict of a Man by Erimaj. Erimaj.
Oh, shit.
And that shit was dope.
Shit sounds sophisticated.
I mean, this shit cool. It has some... very nuanced. It had an ill chord structure. That's what made me go, what the fuck is this?
Nigga, the chord structure. All right.
So
I gotta hear that.
So, you know, they doing things, man, out here, man. But yeah, with Tidal, they be always having to up-to-date whatever the streets is talking about. And then, you know, one thing they don't have, though, which both Apple and Tidal... I wish Apple and Tidal would like partner with Google to get their search shit together. Because you know what I'm saying? You can't misspell shit. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's over for you. You know that's how like Apple TV.
You know what I'm saying? You know how songs should be having all crazy ass spellings and shit. All the spelling name crazy.
Right.
You can't misspell shit. You ain't going to find it.
Yeah, I hate that shit.
You know what I'm saying? Like Google, you can misspell some shit and they're going to give you some suggestions.
Right, did you mean?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? We know what you meant.
Yeah. You meant currency with the
with the dollar sign.
Okay, we know.
Yeah, we got you.
Black Google.
Yeah. Shit. So, you know, if they partner it up, man, and get it together, but that ain't going to happen.
How much shit would Google catch if they had an option to be like, you know, change your search from like white Google, black Google,
like
Asian
In-N-Out
Google,
burger.
Whatever. Yeah, like you
could, they
like,
already got it, though, with the algorithm. Your Google is different than my Google.
Oh, absolutely.
When you search shit, I was, you know, it always be funny when you meet somebody white. I was at a party, and it, you know, it was a real rich situation. And, you know, it was at the plaza. It was, you know, a lot of things going on. And I was exchanging contacts with somebody. He was like, yo, you on Facebook? I'm like, yeah. And then, you know, when he goes to search my name versus when I search my name so I could show him which one it is, I don't even come up in his.
I don't even come up in mine either.
You know what I'm saying? I don't come up like by far. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Or if we search, we also was trying to search somebody else.
They'll be like, you mean Allison?
Yeah, exactly.
Is that like, what they do?
Like,
you can't mean Ali.
And then I'm like, yo, watch how I do when I search it. When I search it, it'd be a whole bunch of black shit come
Ali's.
Up. You know what I'm saying? And then when he searches, it'd be a whole bunch of white shit come on. I'm like, man, look, you know, it's the algorithm, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, your shit is white Google.
Right. That's interesting though too, because isn't that gonna, like, theoretically that's gonna keep worlds separated, you know?
Right.
What I mean?
Yeah, and
you came up with the digital ghetto.
The digital ghetto. They have you trapped in that shit. You gotta fight your way through it.
Yeah, you do. You got to.
Just go like a bunch of sophisticated shit.
Right.
One day, then like a bunch of white shit, then you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cause I fucked around during homecoming and liked too much fan you shit, my shit. I didn't even know these people that was popping up on my timeline.
Was this Facebook?
On Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook could put you in all types of conversations.
Like, well, who are these people? Like,
shit,
these,
I ain't even asked to be in this conversation.
Like, I didn't know these people were even friends with me.
Yeah.
After, because I was just liking a bunch of different shit during homecoming.
Like, oh, you like that?
And they just, you know, algorithm my ass to a whole another world.
Yeah.
What's good with you, though?
Man, everything, man. Just out here, just you know. Back in the States, you know. You know, was just abroad for a couple of days. That's always the cool shit to say. I was just abroad, you know. So, you know, overseas. Now I'm chilling, man. Getting ready. I might be doing some shit. I can't really speak on. I might have some cool shit coming up. Waiting to see what happens, but. I know I'll be at fucking Nashville Zanies. Not to say that we rapping right this second, but I'm be at Nashville Zanies.
So you back in the hot chicken spot.
Yeah. The original hot chicken spot. You know what's so funny? Somebody somebody, I think it was a meme on TV, and was kind of ill because, you know, I had the hot chicken spot. I had the hot chicken from KFC because you can't get the official. It's Nashville fried, you know, but it was like, yo, why is Kentucky selling Nashville fried chicken? I was like, ooh.
Thinking man emoji.
You know what I mean? But shit, everything is good. Shout out to everybody. I know I wasn't here last week, but yo, shout out to everybody that came through Caroline's, man. We had a good time. It was fun times out there.
Did
shout
you
out.
Think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Have fun, man. I got it in. I had fun. You know, I overthink
right. The
home games. But nah, it was a good time. Shout out to I had Nori Davis host, had Hadia Robinson feature.
How's she doing?
She's killing shit. She's doing her thing. She's out there. She's still funny than a motherfucker.
No doubt.
Shout out to Reginald Thomas. He did a guest spot. Chris Lambert dropped through, did a guest spot. Some people in the building. You know, we had a good time, man. It was good fun out there.
Oh, you curated the shit out of that.
Yeah, I had to. You know, you got to. Shout out to Kyle with the cam. Had a cat come through, you know.
Kyle with the cam,
man. Shout out to that, man.
You could call me. It was local.
Nah, but you wasn't at the scene. You was somewhere else. You told me. I think it was a homecoming situation. I'm about to say that. We had the conversation.
Awkward moments.
Nah, it was a real look. What's up with you, man? We got anything else? What's going on with you?
Oh, man, shit, everything cool, man. Like I said, man, I'm just doing my thing out here, man. I'm on a new propaganda campaign.
Uh-oh.
You know what I'm saying?
What's that mean?
You know, just putting out new shit, man. And, well, getting ready to put out new shit. Just really getting my face back into place. You know what I'm saying?
You turned up on the social media.
Get back on the circuit, let niggas know that I ain't gone nowhere. You know what I'm saying? You know, refresh my energy out here.
Right.
In the world, not just with myself. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I've been refreshing myself for quite some time. Now I need to refresh.
I've been refreshing myself.
You know what I'm saying? Now I need to refresh my world view, like the world's view. I need to communicate some of this shit that I done came up with, this new shit that I'm on.
Okay. You know what I'm saying? Put your sound bites in the world.
I need to put my sound bites out, shine my light, man. Just operate off of my own program. You know what I'm saying?
I hear that.
So that's what I'm on, man. You know, just out here making moves and doing shit. You know what I mean? Showing up and being motherfucking present.
I can dig it.
You know what I'm saying? During the roll call.
Yeah.
Ali Muhammad.
Here.
Yeah.
In this bitch. That's real talk.
So, you know, that's what I'm on, man. Ain't nothing more, nothing less, man.
Yeah, man. Anyway, so shit, I think we can get the hang on out of here.
Yeah, man, like, we got streets to hit tonight.
Yeah, we in the world. You know, it's extravaganza, as they would say. Yeah. You fresh to death
out here. You know what I'm saying? They can't see me, but shit. I got on my Rat Pack outfit on.
Hilarious.
Sammy Davis Jr. I just need a gold chain with a medallion.
Ooh, a nugget medallion?
A nugget medallion or some shit with a nugget bracelet.
That shit always look crazy. That used to be the nugget watch, the nugget nasty watch. Yeah, man. That's a different type of jewelry. That's a whole nother conversation you got to have one day. There's definitely generational jewelry style. Mm-hmm.
No doubt. Yeah. And geographical.
Oh, yeah. That's true indeed. Because there's certain areas where the herringbone gets a lot more love.
Detroit City Hills, the herringbone city.
Yeah, that's a Midwest piece right there, saying? Especially a
wide herringbone.
Yeah, wide-ass. That shit look crazy.
Miami always had the Cubans.
Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah, right there.
And for a time, it was the Cubans, Gucci's,
The Figaro?
The Figaro. I had a Figaro.
I had a Figaro for a minute. I had a nice little. It was kind of short though. It got caught up in the clavicle. You gotta have your chain gotta hang. It can't dangle.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, little chain.
Mine was Cubans, Gucci links, Figaros, and Turkish links. That was the
Turkish links and the smaller like Run DMC truck. You know, those are some ill ones too. Is that the Turkish link? Which one is the one that looks like
it looks wiry. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I'm not into the wiry shit.
That's the Turkish link look like a wiry joint.
Look like kind of like barbed wire, like little things.
Yeah. That's what the Turkish look like.
I like a rope shit, like a nice rope.
Yeah, rope.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like a good, like a small rope, a cool rope, a medium-sized rope is cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's official. A nice cubit is official.
No doubt.
You know,
Slick Rick wore all of them at once.
Yeah. He got everything. Some of that shit, yeah. Some of it look like, you know, women's jewelry. I seen 2 Chainz put on a couple pieces that look like, you know.
Yeah, he'll do a
somebody grandmoms might like have had on.
Grandma costume jewelry. Yeah. Yeah, that's when you just be out there.
Just tossing shit.
You know, your like, bag is heavy. You exactly. In Vegas.
Put some shit with some ovals
you
on
what
it.
Saying? Nigga, this shit right here is 26 carats.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying, boy?
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Fuck you, man.
Nigga, count my Chainz.
You know what I'm saying? Don't them 2 Chainz to come see you, boy.
Oh, shit. Where you going? No podcast beef with 2 Chainz. That nigga undefeated out here.
Nigga will come call in. You know, Chris will surprise you with the 2 Chainz call.
Nah, man. I fuck with that nigga. He funny as shit. Anyway.
I'm going to be in D.C. Friday, actually. You know what I'm saying? Doing a shoot out there at Howard, taking the young one on a college tour. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, if you're in D.C., holler at your boy. I'll be out there Friday. You know what I'm saying? Then I'll be back New York Monday, get ready to jump right here again on Tuesday.
Dope, 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 dope. Well, listen, I'm going to be at Nashville Zanies November 11th and the 12th. Get your tickets now. It's going to be a good one. I'll be in the city a lot this month too, you know, at the Stand Up New York. You know, check out DamianLemon.com and update the dates. Follow me, obviously, everywhere, D Lemon Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. And beats being broke on Snapchat every so often, you know? But until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Well, we out.
Of it all is to be in the conversation.
This has been a Stand Up Labs production powered by Digital Media. Subscribe to new and archive episodes wherever you listen to podcasts and find all of our shows at standuplabs.nyc.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.
We out.